Hi, I'm Pastor Landis Fisher of Straight Gate Ministries, and I wanted to take a minute to let you know that Straight Gate Ministries is involved with Inner Prison Ministry, and today we're going to feature on the broadcast an excerpt from a prison service, and we hope you'll be in touch with us and help support us in our effort to reach prisoners with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give us a call, 1-877-35-BIBLE, Pastor Fisher, and we hope you enjoy today's Teaching Bible Radio.
This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri, featuring pastor teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor Fisher.
Just for church is the most important thing in the world to me. There's nothing else on earth more important than church. Okay, because it's at church that the Spirit of God ministers to me, and that helps me do better every day. You see, I learn more and more and more. I don't know everything in the Bible, but I've studied quite a bit of it, and I intend to study it until I leave here. You see, and I've decided that, I've determined that, because if God loved me that much, I want to know about it. I want to know all about it. And so he gave me that thirst to dig into it. Now, Jesus said this. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," in Matthew chapter 5. See, and so if you have, he gives you that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. And so I'm doing better than I used to. And if I see you a year from now, if I should still be here, and we run across paths again, I'm sure that God will have corrected some more problems that I have, and he will have taught me some more things and taken me into a deeper relationship with him. And so we do these things not to be saved, but we do these things because we are saved. You see that? And that's what church is about. And so therefore, it's very, very important. The term church that we translate church is not a building. It's people. Me and you, we are the church, the called out ones, those of us who believe the gospel, the good news of our salvation. And so that's what I want you to know. Whoever you are tonight, no matter what you have done, you may be sitting there thinking, "Well, he doesn't know what I did." Well, I don't know. I really don't. You know what? God knows what all of us did. And at the same time, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see that? So God already knew everything that would come to pass, and that doesn't stop the relationship. What the only thing that can stop it is you. You have to close your heart and close your ear to the truth and say you do not accept Jesus Christ and you don't accept God's free gift. That's the only thing that keeps you from being saved. If you trust God and believe that he has given his only son, he will save you. God is trustworthy. He has never lied, and it's not even possible that he can lie. You see that? And he has given his son, and he's configured the world around him so that you could believe. That's the reason why it's 2008. We're counting years from the time Jesus Christ was born. You see, that's not true of anyone else professing a religion or anything of that sort in all the world, only of Jesus Christ. He is the reason why it is 2008. Have you ever thought of that? It's 2008 years since he was born. And before that time, it's called BC, before Christ. And that's how history is measured, is by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So I hope you will believe that, just on the basis of that. That's a pretty strong proof and an evidence to me that you should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so I'm going to take a minute. I think this brother had a question here. You good? Okay. And I don't mind answering a question if you do have a question to ask. That's one thing I think that sometimes is missing in preaching, is that sometimes people don't know, and we hear a lot of one-way preaching. It's coming from the preacher, but you don't ever get to say, "Well, what about this?" And I'm sure that back in the days of the early church, there was what was there's a Greek word called dialogizomai, which means to dialogue one with another, you see, and so that people can speak and ask questions and get an answer for things that they may want to know. Because there's some pretty deep stuff in the word. I was this past Good Friday, as it is called, I had the pleasure of working, doing a service with a church that does the seven last sayings that Jesus said from the cross. And I learned some things in the process of studying for that. I do this every year, have been for the past several years. And they gave me the saying that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Have you ever read that in the Word? You know, and from that, God showed me some things that are really a blessing. I'm just going to share them with you in the past couple of minutes. Number one, Jesus was forsaken. That's what one thing we can see that's pretty obvious. You might be going, duh, okay. Yes, he was. He was forsaken. Now, why was he forsaken is the question. He had not offended God. He had not sinned at all, never sinned from the womb to the tomb. And yet he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So what that says to us is that it lets you see that Jesus himself was forsaken, but it was not for himself. It was for you and it was for me. He was forsaken because he was bearing our sin in his body on the cross. And so God forsook him because of the sin. But you know what? That didn't even kill him. What would happen if God forsook me? I'd be in big trouble. Let me let you know right now. Because without God keeping me going, I can't exist. I can't do anything. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus says in John 15. You see? And so if God were to forsake me, I'd be in a world of trouble. But only because Jesus had lived a perfectly spotless, holy life, God could forsake him, and that wouldn't even kill him. He didn't even die. He was still alive. It also says this to us. It says that the punishment that he received was real. It was not fake. It was real. He actually received justice from God. At the hand of God, he was forsaken on the cross. And you know what else it says to us? It says it's not a sin to ask God. When you're in a lot of trouble and you wonder, why am I in this trouble? And you cry out to God, oh God, have mercy. Is that a sin? No, not necessarily. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did not sin in the process of crying out. He was forsaken by God on the cross for the sins of many. The punishment was real. And the good side of that is this. Since the punishment was real, also, the blessing and the gift and the salvation is real. You see that? Because he took the punishment. He received the justice that you and I can't pay. He received it. He paid it. You see? And he was forsaken by God so that you and I don't have to be forsaken by God. Why did he do it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He went through that. He went through it, and it didn't even kill him. He didn't die from that, being forsaken by God. Neither was it a sin for him to cry out to God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not a sin if you cry out, if you feel like you've been forsaken. Sometimes we do. Life kicks us in the head, and we feel pretty bad about a lot of things. And sometimes you wonder, God, where are you? You know, and you cry out. It's not necessarily sin, you know, depending on the intention of your heart. When you cry out, Job cried out. He cursed the day that he was born. He said, I wish I had never been born. And Jonah said the same thing if you read the book of Jonah. And they were afflicted and they were going through trouble because of the world is filled with sin. But yet it was not sin when they cried out to the Lord. And neither is it if you or I cry out to God. But on the same token, just as the punishment was real, Jesus endured that suffering and that pain, so is the gift of salvation. It's real. You can count on it. Just as surely as he was forsaken and he died. You know, when he died was after he asked for a drink. The next thing he said was, I thirst. And why did he say that? That the scriptures might be fulfilled. It was he who had created all the water that exists right now, or that ever existed in the history of the world. But he said, I thirst, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And then instead of giving him water, the people had so much of a lack of compassion and mercy, they gave him vinegar, sour wine to drink. See, and he spit it out. Then when he had done that, he said, it is finished. That's it. Last thing that needs to be done has been done. Everything necessary to save all the sinners who trust and believe in him has been done. And then he commanded his spirit to leave his body. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. It was actually him giving his spirit. Nobody took his life from him. John chapter 10 says, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. So he gave his life. That's why when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's actually what happened. Jesus gave his untainted, unspotted, unblemished spirit, his sinless spirit to God as an offering on behalf of all of us who trust and believe in him. And it was also for that reason, how do we know that worked and how do we know God accepted it? Because after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead and said, all power is given to me, Matthew 28, 18, in heaven and earth. Then he told his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so that's why I'm here tonight. That's my favorite verse in all the world. Jesus told me, go into all the world and teach all the nations the gospel, the good news, that this is what he has done for you. And so I hope you believe me. I'm here to beg you to believe me tonight. That might sound crazy, but I really pray. I prayed before I got here. When I leave, I'm going to pray again. And I'm asking you right now, begging you from the bottom of my soul, please believe the gospel. It is the good news of your salvation. If you do, it'll be the best thing that you ever did in your life. You know what? It was the best thing I ever did. I can't think of anything else that I've done in life that I'm happier about than being able to know for sure that I'm clean and forgiven in the sight of God. See, nothing else is more important. God will take care of everything else. You know what it says in Matthew 6, verse 33? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the righteousness he gives you. And all other things will be added to you. He says, I'll take care of everything else you need. But the most important thing you need is to seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will give you everything else you need. He says, take no thought for what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll clothe yourself with. For these things, people who don't know God and don't have a relationship with God seek. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add everything else you need. And see, that's the problem, I think, with me in my life. I was going through life trying to do everything, get it all done, and let me see, what can I do, aimlessly heading through this world. And you know what? The world is hostile against you. But if you start off right, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you know what it says? If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He's going to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. He'll show you what you ought to do and where you ought to go in this world and how you ought to get there. See that? And so that's what I have learned. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you all the desires of your heart. He'll give you the things that you really desire. And so really, that's the most important thing that we can ever do. So I hope you will believe the good news tonight. And I hope that you are born again right now. Born again means accepting the gospel, and God, the Holy Spirit, will make you alive and give you the Spirit. And you will be filled with the Spirit. You'll be baptized into the body of Christ. You'll be a child of God from this time forward. And like I said, it is the very best thing I ever did. And I have to say that's my personal testimony. I wish I had about 2 hours to tell you all the mess that I went through before I got saved and how awful it was. It was terrible. It was an awful situation. You would never believe it. Most people say, well, I don't believe you could ever have been on drugs and been addicted to anything. Yes, I did. See, absolutely I was. My life was miserable. And I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. I could tell when I was in that mess, this is not right. I felt many days, this is not right. This is no way for a person to live, to go through this, doing the kind of stuff you have to do to maintain a habit and all that. I hated it. Didn't know what to do. And it was not until I got in trouble. When I got in trouble, something deep within me that had been implanted there by my grandparents surfaced and said, you know, the only one that can help you is the Lord. And when I knew that in my heart, in my heart of hearts, I knew that's who I need. Only God can fix this mess. And I called on the Lord when I was in trouble. And what made things clear, and he caused me to see what he had done for me, and then everything began to change. And I'm not here to tell you that I'm rich or famous or any of that, because I'm not. And I had a lot of years of anxiety and trouble to go through before things even got as well as they are. And so when I'm done here, I want to go anyway. I don't want to stay here 1 second longer than I need to. You see, but while I'm here, like Paul said, I intend to preach the gospel of Christ to as many people as I can find. And so I hope you accept it and believe it is the best thing on earth is the gospel of Christ. You know what? You can have all kinds of trouble. And you'll be like David, who said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God will be with you. You know what? You can't get away from trouble. The world is filled with it. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, so you can have good.
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Write us at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri, 63145. Call us toll-free, 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or visit us online at teachingbible.org, a ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.